From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the third day of January 2012, the first trading day of the year. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. And a bit later, Harry Cooney of GrowMark will be here to take up the agricultural energies. And along the way, we'll hear from Don Day with a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather across the planet. And it all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of WILLAG.org. That's willag.org at Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Checking the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon, the first trading day of the year. Futures were higher. Nearby contract in the soft red winter wheat, that's the nearby... March contract is 657, settlement price up 4.25. The May at 676, up 4.75. And the July futures at 691.75. And the soft red up 5.5 cents. The March corn for the day, 658.5, 12 cents higher. May futures at 667, up 12.25. And July at 673.75, up 12.5 cents. September futures, $6.18, 4.75 higher. December corn up 3.75 cents at $5.90. And the March 2013 contract at $6.02. Up a penny and 3/4. January soybeans on the afternoon, $12.18 and a quarter, 19.75 cents higher. The March at 12.27 and a half, up 19.75. May futures 12.37 and a quarter, up 19.75. In July 12.46 and 3/4, 19.75 cents higher. Next year's November contract at $12.19. That's the new crop, up 14.75. Bean meal at 3.15.80, $6.40 higher. And January bean oil up 71 cents at $52.80. From Mercantile Exchange live cattle pit, nearby February at 121.55, up a dime, but the April's down 17.5 at 125.27.5. January feeders at $146.67.5, up 32.5 cents on the day. The March contract at 100 pounds, 149.42.5, up 62.5. That for the feeder cattle. Lean hog futures at $85.52.5, $1.22.5 higher. April futures at $88.45, up 75 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Nearby crude oil futures at $103.06 a barrel, $4.23 higher. Ethanol at $2.24, up 3.7 cents. Natural gas at $2.99 and 6 cents, that's 0.7 cents higher. And heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.03 and 9 cents, up 12.5 cents on the day. January gold futures at $1,599.70, $33.90 higher. And the Dow just about 222 points higher. At $12,439. The dollar at 79.61 is down 0.72. The CRAP index at 313.41, up 8.1. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this evening. Partly cloudy skies with a low of 24 degrees. A south-southwest wind between 10 and 16, gusting all the way to 20 this afternoon and this evening. Mostly sunny, a high tomorrow near 38 degrees with a west wind at 10 to 14 miles an hour, gusting to 17. And then Wednesday night, partly cloudy skies, a low of 27 degrees. Thursday should show us sunny skies at a high of 46 with west-southwest wind at about 9. And then Thursday evening, partly cloudy with a low of 33 degrees. Friday, mostly sunny and a high near 50 degrees. Friday night, partly cloudy and a low of 33. Saturday, partly sunny and a high of 44. On Saturday night, partly cloudy skies, a low of 27. Sunday, sunny and 38. Sunday night, partly cloudy and 24 on the weekend. And then to start next week, Monday should show us a mostly sunny sky with a high near 38 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. This is the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Oh, good afternoon, Todd.
Did you have a good holiday?
Wonderful holiday. Got to see lots of family and lots of friends, and it's always a great time.
No, it was a very good time for me. And actually, as we ended the year out, it wasn't too bad for the marketplace, better than I suspect many thought it would be just a month ago. I think the weeklies, the dailies, the weeklies, the monthlies, and even the yearlies, for the most part, were a bit higher.
You know, quite a turnaround. We thought it might be just a Santa Claus rally, and this whole situation in South America with the continued warm and dry weather adding to the enthusiasm of the market, and also some of the unrest in the Middle East, and somewhat of some good news of the way that the European community is sort of putting aside some of their debt problems and working through them. So all that put together, a heck of a good start to the new year.
A heck of a good start. And soybeans finished the day 19¾ cents higher in the January. Next year's November, up 14¾ cents. What did you make of that market?
Well, I think that basically we saw a lot of people that stayed out of the market and just waited to see what the weather was going to be after the three-day holiday, coming in here and seeing what the forecast looked like. And unfortunately for the Brazilian and Argentine farmers, the rainfall weather, the rainfall forecast and what did fall over the weekend wasn't very good. So there's a lot of experts out there. I think they're, you know, beginning to cut the crop size down there. And that, of course, puts some more pressure on what will be planted and what sort of year it will be here in the U.S. later in the year.
Was it outside markets or outsiders or commercials that were buying today?
Well, I think we saw a lot of short covering, just some new money coming into the market today, probably for the new year. Don't know for sure. Didn't hear too much on the commercials. The commercials have been very fortunate over the last week that the cash movement did pick up, and we did see them acquiring some cash against some of their short hedges.
You think it was a pretty good gain in the corn pit, up 12 cents for the afternoon?
Well, yeah. I mean, the rally this morning tested the October highs and put them up there. You know, the would have been a nicer close. It had been over 60, 62 to 65 in that area is where it would put us over the 100-day moving average. And that's the idea of where we would sort of like to see to push this on up a little higher. So, you know, we're bumping up against some overhead resistance right in here, and we're going to take a look at the weather forecast and, of course, what crude oil is doing come morning.
They read some wire service copy suggesting that they thought commercials were getting a bit bullish based on the fundamental news that's coming out of Argentina and Brazil. Do you think that's the right thing to do across the marketplace for corn and soybeans?
You know, we'd like to be cautious bulls right here. I guess, you know, we've seen a very, very big turnaround from our lows and where we bounced on back here. We do have the real potential, if that does continue to worsen down there and the yields get cut back. Before I get way too bullish, I guess Friday afternoon, I think we're talking to Michael Cordonier on Commodity Week. And,
we are.
I would sort of like to see what he says before I get my horns on and sharpen the ends too much.
And I know he cut his projections a couple of weeks ago, just before we went into the holiday season, and we have him booked for Commodity Week on this Friday afternoon. Of course, you'll be here, and we'll post that to the website about 4:30 Friday afternoon, right?
Yes, we will.
All right. So, well, actually, about 6 o'clock, you'll be here at 4:30, and we'll record. If we get posted at 4:30, then something's really happening good.
I talked way too fast.
That's probably right. Were you busy today? Many farmers calling in to check on the marketplace?
Yeah, I had a lot of enthusiasm. It was a great way to start the new year with some good positive activity and with some farmer interest. A lot of farmers are looking for a place to sell this market, feeling they missed it on the last time around. So that's one of the reasons we don't want to get too bullish here too quick, because there's going to be some selling along the way. We're looking for opportunities to buy little setbacks rather than and setback doesn't necessarily mean lower on the day. Setback means near the lows of the day. So you know, we did buy some stuff today, but we also know that there was some pricing of cash along the way by some of our customers.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks, Todd.
That is Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon, the very first trading day of the 2012 year.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Hey, next week, in the following week, I will not be here in this seat, at least for the middle 3 days of next week and 4 days the following week, as I'll be out on the road with the crop scientist from the University of Illinois for the Corn and Soybean Classics series. It is a great day-long look at what's happening in the world of agriculture in the state of Illinois and the latest information from the U of I on all sorts of crop production and protection types of issues. If you're interested, you can always walk in each and every one of those days. We'll make our way around the state. You can find out more at cropsciconferences.com. Up next, you know, the current La Nina system covering most of the United States has been slightly different than traditional La Ninas. Rod Bain from the United States Department of Agriculture reports.
So has La Nina returned? You know, the weather pattern responsible for the drought-like conditions in the southern plains and severe soil saturation in the eastern corn belt of the past year. According to USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey, it has, but
we're still seeing a disrupted La Nina pattern.
So what does that mean?
The weather patterns over the United States are being controlled a little bit more by what's going on over the North Atlantic than rather by what's happening in the Pacific with La Nina.
So for example,
we have not seen much at all cold air across the lower 48 states. We did see just a brief surge of cold air earlier in December, but lately we have just seen very mild conditions.
And in addition,
another anomaly we've seen this winter that we don't expect with La Nina is that we've seen some soaking rains and some snows across the south. We've gotten some drought relief into Texas and Oklahoma, New Mexico, areas that were devastatingly dry in the summer of 2011. We've also seen more recently some heavy rain soaking through the Gulf Coast region and into the southeast.
With the new year here, Rippey says this disrupted La Nina has impacted what is usually colder and wetter than normal conditions in the northern tier of the U.S.
That makes it for some easy winter conditions across the northern plains and the upper Midwest, where they had a rare brown Christmas. No snow in sight, and way up into the Dakotas, parts of Minnesota. Highly unusual to see bare ground at Christmas time and on into the new year, but that's exactly what we're seeing. And in fact, even up into Montana, we have a Chinook wind going on right now, with winds blowing down off the Rockies, warming as they come down, temperatures in the 40s and 50s in some cases, melting away any traces of snow.
And that leads to concerns about winter grains and a lack of snow cover to protect such from winter's biting cold once it arrives. But Rippey says there are signs that La Nina is starting to return to its more stereotypical settings. Mild and dry conditions in the southern half of the U.S. and colder and wetter conditions in the north. One indication comes from the Pacific Northwest, which has seen above normal precipitation in recent days.
Some of the orographically favored areas in the Cascades and the Olympic Range in western Washington state will be seeing some extremely heavy mountain snow and very heavy rainfall. This comes on the heels of near record dryness so far in December. So we could see quite a bit of runoff with this and even some possible flooding in western Washington.
Also, the southern two-thirds of the nation are starting to trend mild and dry, another signal of the potential return of a traditional La Nina weather system. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
La Nina, of course, has been having an impact on both North and South American weather. A bit later in the program, we'll talk with Don Day, meteorologist, about what's been happening in Argentina and Brazil, in part as a result of the La Nina that's brought that same kind of weather to the United States. If you're a cattle producer, put this next event on your calendar. It's the IPT auction that takes place at the state fairgrounds in February. The IPT bull sale sets the standard by which the beef herd in Illinois is improved. It's been doing so for more than 40 years. This year, the sale, as is usually the case, will kick off the annual Beef Expo. What makes this sale special is that each animal is pre-screened from the time it is born to the day of the sale. It must meet prerequisites in order to be sold as an Illinois performance-tested bull. Dave Seibert puts the auction together.
First of all, of course, these are home-raised tested bulls. These are bulls that are processed through the different breed associations. They have to not only have weights, which we think usually are birth weights, weaning weights, and yearling weights, but they also have to have EBDs, using the EPDs that are generated, developed by the breed association. That's actually the traits or the traits that we use EPDs to really kind of drive our sale. Actually, we start the bulls as far as the ardor sale on six of those traits, and that would be EPDs for birth weight, weaning weight, yearling weight, a thing called maternal milk, and then the two carcass traits. One is marbling, and that's the little white flecks that you find in your steaks when you eat them, and the other is ribeye area, and that's if you eat ribeye steaks, that tells how big that is going to be.
EPD stands for Expected Progeny Differences. It means the bulls are screened for inheritable traits that should make their offspring more profitable to raise. Those wanting to learn more about the Illinois Performance Tested Bull Sale can do so online at www.iptbullsale.com or by calling Dave Seibert at 309-339-3694. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Hey, don't forget to visit our website. The address there is WILLAG.org. You'll find all of our daily programming from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between posted not long after it airs on our radio station. Can't get to the website or use your smartphone? Then just dial this number, 217-333-3434. Updated at 10:15 and 3:15 daily.
Well, let's stay with what's happening in the month of February. The Chicago farmers will meet, too. I'll have more on that in just a moment. The Chicago farmers were organized back in 1935. Its purpose is to advance production agriculture and agribusiness. It is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that provides some information, a few educational programs, and a forum for discussing issues for its members and others interested in agricultural efficiency and competitiveness in a global economy. Now, members of the Chicago Farmers, as reported on the website at www.chicagofarmers.org, are a unique blend including farmland owners, commodity traders, agribusiness leaders, farm management professionals, real estate consultants, and those from other affiliated businesses. The common thread throughout the membership is an interest in agribusiness and the promotion of agriculture in general. Saturday, February the 4th, the organization will host its annual Farmland Investment Fair. Jeff Martin is a farmer from Mount Pulaski, Illinois, and chairs the program.
It includes different seminar sessions, topics related to agriculture production, buying and selling of farmland, plus approximately 40 exhibit booths with people there related to buying, selling farmland, ag financing, anything to do with farmland.
The fair again is Saturday, the 4th of February. It'll be held at the Joliet Junior College. By the way, that's the first public community college in the United States. It was established in 1901. JCC is in Joliet, Illinois. Pre-registration on the website at chicagofarmers.org is $50. Walk-ins are welcome at $75.
Doors open at 8 a.m. and last till 2 p.m. Lunch is included in that fee. Lunch is served from 11 to 1.
Typically, Jeff Martin says about 60 to 70% of the folks attending the fair are landlords. The rest are farmers. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media at the U of I. That's the University of Illinois, the land grant in the state of Illinois. It is a Tuesday afternoon. On the phone line with us is Harry Cooney. He's at GrowMark and to take a look at the agricultural energy markets. Thanks so much for taking time with us today.
Good afternoon, Todd. Mm-hmm. The first trading day of the new year.
Yeah, it's the first trading day of the new year. How did it and the end of the year meet your expectations?
Wow. I mean, I guess you could say that it's kind of what we had talked about in December, that you tend to have a strong end of the year, and we did have a rally, and then seasonal suggests that you can continue that rally out into the first or second week in January before you actually set back later in January. And wow, we sure came out of the chute strong this morning. Of course, the stock market's up a little over 200 points here this afternoon. Crude oil up over $4 today, up over $100 a barrel, closing at almost $103 this afternoon. Diesel fuel, which is derived from the heating oil futures contract on the NYMEX, New York Mercantile, up 12.5 cents, and gasoline up about 10. So a very strong day here in the energy markets to start out the first trading day of the new year.
I suppose the crude oil mostly moving higher on concerns that Iran will close up the Strait of Hormuz.
Yeah, there was talk of that. There's been talk of that in the background. So that was one of the reasons today for the rally. This Iran talk has been out there for a couple of weeks now. But also the strength in the stock market with the idea that if the economy is improving, and the stock market is one barometer to suggest that, and if it's improving, then most likely oil demand may be increasing also. There was some reports out of China this morning, too, that were a little bit supportive, and so that's that kind of helped fuel the upside in the market. Now, today there wasn't much talk at all, though, about the problems in Europe with their economic problems over there. So all they have to do is start talking problems in Europe again, and they can back this thing off a little bit.
You would have thought maybe that the better-than-average weather or higher temperatures in the United States and the Midwest and other parts of the winter regions of the U.S. would have had an impact on the marketplace. And
you know, it's interesting. The bulls will turn that, and they'll say, well, the good weather, though, has allowed more driving demand because more people were able to get out on the holidays. And what better weather we had over the entire holiday period to do travel, really, except for yesterday where we had some whiteout conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really a great holiday to be out traveling. You're right, though, as far as heating oil demand, that has backed off here this winter compared to other winters. And we still have fairly strong export demand. So we're looking forward to getting more contracts on the books here in the month of January and into February for end users. End users really need to look now in the next 4 to 6 weeks at opportunities on price breaks, talk to their FS member cooperatives, and look at opportunities to do some contracting to take advantage of those dips because seasonal suggests that you tend to go higher from, mid to late February out into spring and summer, and that seasonal works about 70 or 80% of the time.
That's for diesel fuel or gasoline or both?
Both. That's for gasoline, diesel fuel, and propane.
Oh, propane I wondered market, about that, too, for the propane, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. The propane market's the same way. Now, it's kind of like a horse race. It's not that all of them go identically to the upside when they go. One can outpace the other one. But overall, they still tend to go to the upside about 80% of the time from winter out into spring and summer. And so we've taken advantage of some of the prices in December and did some recommendations. We'll look for more opportunities here in this window of opportunity in the next 6 weeks.
Hey, Harry, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Harry Cooney is with Growmark in Bloomington, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. We'll say goodbye now to some of our radio stations. For the rest of you, stay with us. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. We'll talk with Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
It's National Carrot Cake Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1468, Johannes Gutenberg died. He invented the method of printing from movable type. One of the most important innovations in his method was a new press, similar to the screw presses used in winemaking. In 1815, the world's first commercial cheese factory was established in Switzerland. In 1852, David Wilkinson died, an American inventor. With his father and brother, he supplied the cotton industry by machining, casting, and forging iron parts to build textile manufacturing equipment for such factories as Slater Mill. In 1823, Spencer Fullerton Baird was born. An American naturalist and zoologist, he was the second secretary of the Smithsonian Institution. By the end of his tenure, the National Museum housed more than 2.5 million specimens and artifacts. In 1857, Wilhelm Johansson was born. A Danish botanist and geneticist, his experiments offered strong support that changes in plant heredity come through sudden discrete changes in germ cells. And in 1913, the 16th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution was ratified. It gave Congress the power to levy taxes on income. In 1913, less than 1% of the population paid income tax at the rate of 1%. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, here to start our brand new year with a great forecast. Is that right for our area or not, Don?
Well, it does look pretty good, actually. We have just gone through a spell and are still feeling the lingering effects of some pretty cold weather. But we're going to see most of the nation here through the rest of the week and into the start of the weekend with really a fairly quiet stretch of weather. Some warmer air that's out to our west is going to be coming into the Corn Belt Midwest as we head into the second half of the week and into the weekend. So it looks like a pretty nice forecast. We're going to warm up. Precipitation chances are going to be pretty meager. We might, as we get into Saturday night and Sunday, see the lower portions of the Ohio Valley, maybe the eastern Corn Belt, see some colder, unsettled weather, but nothing that is looming large right now in terms of major weather changes for the Midwest that would bring cold, wet weather till the middle of next week. Middle of next week, looks colder again. Looks like we'll see some winter weather return.
Turn your attention to South America, where they had been suffering some very dry conditions. I think maybe a little hot, too, although there have been some sporadic rainfall over the last week and a half. Is anything changing there for the crops that are coming on?
Well, Brazil is going to be able to get some shower activity. That's one part of South America that I think it might get a little bit of help. Argentina is looking pretty dry. Only the far western and southern areas of Argentina look to have some decent precipitation chances. And it's Argentina that's hot, and that's going to stay that way. Now, it's not as hot in Brazil, but Argentina is one area that needs to be watched as it's getting drier, getting hotter, and the rain prospects are less.
And what do you think the prospects are over the next 2 weeks to a month?
Well, we can really only go out 2 weeks with any amount of confidence, and I would say the trend down there is going to continue. Now, maybe as we get into the last 10 days of January, I think we'll see some southern hemispheric changes that might get things kick-started that could be a little more moist, but it's at least another week, maybe another 10 days of that drier, warmer weather down in South America.
Thanks so much for taking the time with us today, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Remember, if you'd like to hear what he has to say again, you can always do that online at www.willag.org or on your smartphone at m.willag.org. Be careful not to put the www in front of that. It's actually just http://m.willag.org. And you can always find our information on your phone at 217-333-3434. It's all part of the service that comes to you from WILLAG.org. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. This has been the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.